just heard a little bit about background on myself. I mean,
I know this guy back here did a little research on me. He kind of looked at the flyer, but you know, as Paul Harvey said, there's the rest of the story that I'm gonna kind of give to you. Yeah, I might look young, but I still know who Paul Harvey is. But a little bit of back
about myself that maybe wasn't on the flyer.
Didn't really get conveyed, but I was in the military for about 21 years. But grew up in a very Christian family home. So my mother and my father and all my sisters. Yes, I'm the only boy in the family. Grew up with three sisters. We all grew up in a very Christian home. And the thing that I dealt with, hello.
Sorry.
All good. But, and my mother would always, you know, give us, you know, scriptures every day and keep us, you know, in Christ. She would always give us scriptures every day, making sure that we understood who Jesus Christ was and, you know, grew up in that.
So, it's kind of a wonder how I got into what I did, the struggle that I've dealt with for over 30 years. So, but what's this talk?
Okay. Maybe just hold it out of here.
Yeah,
that
is way better.
Maybe.
It actually just went off again. How do I know? Because there's a red light.
Do you want a handheld?
Well, we can do a handheld.
No, but at that point, the door right there works.
We'll try that.
Yeah.
Just testing the mic.
Sorry about that.
Oh, it's all right. It's the name of the game, electronics. You know, they always work whenever you don't need them to, and they don't work whenever you need them to.
Of course.
Grew up on computers, you kind of know that.
That's how our computer works.
Yeah, right. Always the way it goes. But, so that's a little bit about me as far as growing up in a Christian home and being raised very much Christian. Did the struggle that I really had, and what brings me to my testimony is what I found at about 8 years old. So a little bit more about me. When I was growing up, my grandparents owned an amusement park. And so as kids, you know, we'd be able to run, you know, all over the amusement park. It was a very big, very big open area, and me and my cousin would always, as boys, go find the least inhabitable place, and you know, make our, you know, sit down and just find out what we could, you know, being boys. And one thing that we came across, so there was a part of the train tracks that ran underneath a bridge, so the train ran around the entire area of the park, but one spot it went underneath the bridge, and we would always end up there for whatever reason as, you know, an eight and nine year old. And so one day we were sitting down there, and we came across something that got into my life at about 8 years old, and that was a magazine known as Hustler. And so that's kind of where that seed was planted at that point in time. It wasn't looking for it. 8 years old. And it followed me all the way up until I was 42, just last year. So if you can imagine being a kid. Now, it didn't, even back then, it was very, it wasn't as accessible as it is now. Because it was more magazines, you had to go out and buy that kind of stuff. You know, so it wasn't accessible. And but it just grew. You know, it was there at that starting point, and it just grew all the way up until I was mid-adult into the military and all the way through. So Yeah, at 8 years old, I came in contact with that kind of stuff, and that's how early the devil can get a hold of, you know, you or, you know, kids, grandkids, whatever age your children are at. And so, as time progressed, that it really started to, you know, you don't really know how it's going to affect your life as you progress, because you sit there and think, well, I'm not hurting anybody, I'm not going out killing anybody, you know, I'm not drinking, you know, it's not affecting anyone else. It's just something that I do in my home or, you know, wherever it is, and that's it. But what you don't realize is that it ruins you mentally, spiritually, and everything on down the line. Because what it did was it started to affect the relationships that I started to have as a, you know, a teenager and as a young adult, all the way up into that. Because what the other thing that it does is it distorts your idea of what a relationship is. And if you haven't figured out what I'm talking about, it's pornography. And it's a very hard thing to overcome. And like I said, I didn't grow up in a bad home. You know, I came from a Christian home. But it was just that seed at that age that just, you know, it got into my head. And it was just like smoking. You know, I started smoking when I was about 15 and didn't stop until, well, 42. So it was, and every time, this is the crazy thing, is that every time I tried to stop, I couldn't ever stop the addictions and the struggles that I had. Because I was looking to the wrong thing. I was looking to the wrong person. And so as the years went by, you know, when I was going through the military, again, it was me not really thinking that I was hurting anyone. Well, I started to have girlfriends and relationships, and didn't understand the ramifications of what that was going to do to my life and my future spouse's life. Well, then I come into contact with a young lady who works at a bank, and we end up hitting it off really well. We went on a few dates. Dated, broke up, you know, the back and forth that goes on with relationships. And I wound up with, on the third time, she finally, and after 4 years, finally landed me. I say she landed me because I was playing hard to get. She was all ready for it, but I was like, I don't know, you know, I'm not sure if I want to do this. But, and she had a child at the time, so that was kind of one of those thoughts that, you know, you kind of, almost scares you out of it, because you're like, oh man, instant dad, oh, how do I do this, I don't know, you know. But we ended up tying the knot whenever I was stationed in Mountain Home, Idaho, and that's where we met, and I ended up getting orders over to Korea. Well, then we had to break it off, and, you know, essentially, and because I was going over there and she was going to be back here, well, we made things work, and about 6 months into it, we decided we were going to get married, and we had the wedding in one place, the reception in another, and we kind of went about our lives. Well, again, that seed that was planted in me at 8 years old and I grew up with continued on. And it started to affect our marriage. But when I tell you that we almost got divorced about three different times over it, I'm not lying to you. May have been more, because every time I would try and hide it, she would find out. And women, you guys have a crazy way of finding out stuff whenever we don't want you to. Anybody who's been married for any length of time knows that. Yep. But you know, it's always for your benefit, you know. And so every time she found out, she would tell me, you know, you need to get help with your problem. You you find somebody to talk to, and I'd say, yep, I'll do that. You know, I'll do whatever I can to make amends, to fix things, beg, plead, you know, but it was always false promises at that point in time, because I was leaning on myself to fix the problems and someone else, you know, on this earth to fix my problems for me. And so it kind of brings me to where I am now. And so we moved up here in 2018, and I was in the Air Force, stationed out on Fort Drum. And I was getting ready to get out, you know, so I was getting out of the military, retiring, and then we were looking for a home, so we found one, and all this great stuff was happening for us. And I was glad to get out, because I'd done my time, and it was time for me to get out. And so we moved into our new home, and it was about December of 2021, my in-laws came to visit. Always a good time. And in our house, I mean, it's a pretty big house. We've got a fireplace and we've got a wood stove. And we don't use a fireplace, we use a wood stove a lot. But, and it helps heat the house pretty well. But the problem is the wood stove doesn't have any kind of gate around it. So it's very open. And if you read the flyer, you know that I have a son. His name is Crew. And I'm kind of leading into this as to how I got into the church. And I'll tell you what happened after that, how God really had an impact on my life last April. But this fireplace didn't have a gate around it. And so my father-in-law and I were like kind of hesitant, or I was kind of hesitant on building a fire in there, because I didn't know, my son being 1 year old, didn't know how he was going to, you know, navigate around. And we thought maybe he'd get hurt on it or something like that, especially if it got too hot or, you know, whatever. But finally convinced, you know, both of us to, I think I finally grew up the nerve to, you know, start a fire in there, because it was getting pretty cold. And so started up a fire, had it going, you know, and it was pretty red hot in there, and it was going. Well, we were sitting down to have dinner one night, and my wife, you know, goes, hey, can you go out and grab me a soda out of the garage? Yeah, no problem. Walked out there, came back in, and we're just getting ready to sit down. And after I got the soda, I was going to grab my son to go put him in his high chair. Well, no sooner I walk in, I see him over at that fireplace, both hands on that stove, just frozen there. And I dropped the soda, I ran over it, and I scooped his arms off the stove, and it was probably 500 degrees plus. And that poor boy was just screaming. And it was, you know, as a father, and with a young son, you know, you want to do everything you can to try and take that pain away from him. And he's just screaming and crying and everything else. Well, luckily his hands are, you know, you can't even tell that he was even burned at all. So praise God that he healed his hands, you know, all the way back to normal. But what happened during that time was that my children were going to Faith Fellowship Christian School, and my 9 year old, who was I think 7 at the time or 8, she was going in second grade. Her teacher was going to Carthage Assembly of God, and so through word of mouth, and you know, obviously it wasn't going to stay a secret for too long, because my daughter was going to say something about it in class. You know, naturally kids do. You know, they just happen to spout something off and say, you know, My little brother got hurt. Well, what happened to him? He burned his hands. Well, this teacher who was going to the church let the pastor, you know because, you know, wanted to pray for him. And at that point in time, they started a meal train for us, because we were having to go through a lot of, you know, just couldn't go to school. The kids were going to school, we were having a tough time trying to keep bandages and doctor's appointments and stuff like that, just to make sure his hands were healing, right? And so they did a meal training, and one of the guys that dropped by was Pastor Mike Ewing. And he said, you know, here, you know, a lot of the people from the church want to help you out, and, you know, I'm one of the guys that's just bringing the food over. And he met my wife, who, if you don't know, which some of you do, she uh, sing She sings for Calvary Assembly of God over in Carthage. She's one of the worship leaders, along with the pastor's wife, Katie. But she's always been a singer, and man, I'm thankful for that.
Sing along with her?
I wish. I don't know if they want me up there, but...
In your seat.
Oh, absolutely. I always do. Never been told to be quiet, so I must be good. But, so, that's how we kind of ended up at the church, was through a tragedy with my son. Burning his hands really bad, we ended up in church. So God turned something negative into a positive. And so I was reluctant to go to start going to the church while she was going, you know, quite often. And she kept talking, you know, talking about me and saying, hey, you know, the pastor was a former Navy guy, and you know, me being a retired Air Force guy, you know, kind of Navy, you know, military minds and brethren, you know, meet up. So. After about a month or so, I started going. I showed up the first time, and it was just absolutely phenomenal. You know, just the love that was poured into me and my family as we walked in. It was just like, you know, when you walk into a place and you feel different walking out. It's like that's how it is every time I walk into that church. It was like I feel one way walking in, and then feel a different way walking out, and not because of the preacher. But because of the love and the light that God shines through him to all of us. And just absolutely just love it. Well, the first day I was there, you know, I'd never been really a church going person. You know, and if I did, I was always sitting either in the back or just kind of sitting there like, no, okay, just give me the word and we go on about my day. You know, I was a Christian, but not really. You know, I was kind of one of those, you know, kind of sort of Christians. But when the first day that I went in there, I could just feel the presence of the Lord just pouring over me. And I was praising and worshiping and up at the altar like I'd never done before. And after that, things started to really change for me. And I was still doing the thing that I had been doing the whole time. You know, I was still into pornography at that point in time. Now I had stopped. I think I'd stopped about a couple months prior because I knew that what it was going to cost me if she ever found out. And if she found out and I didn't tell her, then it was going to be over. And I knew it. And even if I told her, I still had to run that chance that she was going to take the kids, because she couldn't handle it. So after that night, Pastor Mike Ewing invited us over for a dinner. I'm like, okay, you know, come over and hang out and spend some time and, you know, enjoy, you know, just some food and conversation. Well, as we were over there that night, we were having a conversation, and you know, I wasn't really thinking about it, but something was said, and I don't even know what. And it just triggered in my head. It's like my face just kind of fell. I was like, oh, man, it's like a conviction in your heart, you know, when you know that you need to tell somebody something and you know it's going to be a very difficult thing to tell them. And you're just praying that the Lord will grant that person forgiveness towards you and be able to move on. And so we had taken two cars there that night because I worked on base that day, and I just drove over because it was only about 15 minutes. And she came over a little bit later. Well, as we were sitting there, you know, something came up, and my face just kind of dropped. Well, Pastor Mike kind of noticed that, but didn't say anything. Excuse me. And so, as we were driving back, I had my two younger kids in the car. And they had fallen asleep, and I just got to thinking. I was like, you know, Matt, if you're going to turn your life over to the Lord, you need to make it. You need to build a solid foundation on truth and not lies. Amen. And you need to tell her what you've been doing, even though she may have already known, but she didn't say anything. But you need to tell her, or it's just going to keep going. And this foundation is going to be built on cracks, and it's just, and it's never going to work. So I sat there and thought about it, and finally got home, tried to hide it. And, you know, all the kids had gone to bed, and her and I were just sitting down on the couch, and she looks over at me, and she goes, "I feel like there's something you need to tell me." What is there? And I was like, "Oh, you know, I'm okay, you know, I'm just trying to, you know, play it off, like just trying to resist what God is telling me to do." And I'm like, no, I'm okay. And she was like, "I really feel like there's something you need to tell me." And I was like, "No, I'm okay. And she's like, "Okay." And she just left it at that. And so we go up to bed and, you know, laying there, you know, next to her. And I turn over and she's like, "You know, what is it? You know, there's something I need to tell you." And she's like, "Okay." And she, now, mind you, let me preface this with, she's been up all day, she's very groggy, she's tired, she just wants to go to bed. And as I'm telling her this, she's like halfway in and out of sleep. You know, not like I planned for that to happen, but, you know, it was just in that moment, she was really tired, she was trying to fall asleep. And I felt like I had to tell her right then and there. And so I told her, and the next words that came out of her mouth just absolutely destroyed me. She goes, I told her, and I said, "I'm really sorry." And she goes, "Your sorry means nothing to me." And it just destroyed me. And I was like, wow. You know, all the times you had caught me doing this, and I come forward and tell you, and this is the reaction that I'm getting. Well, I had to be prepared for that, because she may not forgive me. And I fell out of the bed and I was crying, because I knew it was coming next. I knew it. And I was crying, and I was over on her side of the bed, just knelt down crying and just saying, "Please forgive me." And then it just hit me, and I was like, "Lord, please forgive me. Take this away. I don't want it anymore." And I'm just like pouring down tears, just crying, because I didn't want her to leave. I didn't want her to take my kids away from me. And it was probably one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do in my life, was to confess to her what I've been doing. But, you know, like the Lord says, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and righteous to forgive your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness, right? And so I struggled to go to sleep that night. I had a really hard time. And got up, went to work, and just had to sit there and think about, you know, what had happened. Because in my mind, it was still fresh. Well, I'll tell you that the next day was amazing, because at the point in time where I said, "Lord, take this away from me, I don't want it anymore," every thought of doing that ever again, gone. I've never even thought about it from that point forward. Now that, and also I gave up smoking as well. So that, from then on, I couldn't do it anymore.
Very proud.
Thank you. But I still had to deal with the consequences afterwards.
Amen.
You know, the Lord will give you grace, but there's always consequences here on earth. And so as I'm at work, I was talking to my wife and, you know, shooting her texts back and forth. And when I came home, we sat down and we had a nice long talk. And she goes, "You know what? I forgive you." She said, "You know, the Lord has forgiven me. So therefore, you know, I forgive you." And it was after that day, it's been an absolute dream You know, and the thing about it is from that day on, I saw my wife in a new light. I saw my kids in a new light. You know, she's been the best thing that's ever happened to me. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Not
just the outside, but the inside. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you. It's been great ever since going to church and just being in the Word and being surrounded by people that love God as much as I do. And I just, I thank you all, and you know, I thank God for giving her grace to forgive me and giving me the ability to confess my sins so that relationship could be mended and continue forward. Absolutely. You know, one thing that, so I've given my testimony, this is only the second time. The other time was at a tent revival, and the one thing that I ended it with was a verse out of the Bible, and it was Matthew 19:26. You know, through men, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible.
Amen. 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 Amen.
That's the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say it. And I want to thank you guys for having me, really. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you. You're welcome.